Well, before we get into the Word, if you have your Bibles with you, let us declare the Word of the Lord this morning and just repeat after me like we always do. We're big on declarations, amen? Just lift up your Bibles and repeat this after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
God's written Word.
God's written Word.
It reveals who God is. And who I am in
Christ.
Therefore, I am what the Word of God says I am. I can do what the Word says I can do. I will be taught the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm here to receive the supernatural living seed of God's Word. Transformed, change is taking place, my mind is about to be renewed, influenced and inspired into the mind of Christ. Therefore, I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen and amen. Well, turn in me to the Gospel of Luke. In chapter 10. And just say praise the Lord when you get there. We need some quick fingers. Amen. Wasn't that a wonderful time of worshiping the Lord this morning? Amen. You know, some of those songs, I remember growing up as a baby in Christ, you know, some of these songs like I Surrender All and Lord Have Your Way in Me, right? Man, those were scary songs to me. And what I mean by them is that, God was asking or requiring me of having his way in my life, right? Or surrendering some things in my life that I knew was there in my life, right? So I reluctantly did not sing those songs. Amen. But as I began to grow, you know, I found out that, you know, God's way is better than my way. So it's better to allow God, just have your way, right? So all this stuff in my life can get, right? And surrendering. Because, you know, sometimes we're singing, I surrender all, and we're still holding on to some things, right? Right? I mean, we're in God's house, right?
Yes.
Right? We're singing, I surrender all, and yet God says, hey, what about that? Why don't you surrender that? The very thing that he wants us to surrender, right? And we're holding on to it. Not realizing the very thing that you're holding on is that's what's going to bring your deliverance and your freedom in your life. Amen? So when we pray, Lord, have your way, you know, we're saying, Lord, I'm accessible, I'm available. And I'm a willing vessel. Just have your way in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in our text, I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. The book of Luke chapter 10, we're going to read verses 38 through 41. And the subtitle on here, it says, Jesus visits and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Sounds familiar? Tell her to come and help me. You can hear the frustration in her voice. Verse 41. But the Lord said to her, My dear Martha, worried and upset with these details. There is only one thing, everybody say one thing. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. I've always loved this account, but never took the time to really find out what the conversations were in it. And it's powerful. So this morning we'll be talking about the time that we have, which is the title of my message, Being a Mary in a Martha's World. Being a Mary in a Martha's World. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, what world are you living in? Turn to the other person and tell them, the real world. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, the written word. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bring this written word alive to reveal the living word within our hearts, that we can feed on it, and that it will help us and sustain us and to build our faith, or even to transform us as the word always does as we receive the revelation from it. Jesus, you are the bread of life, you are the living waters, and we thank you that you are a sustenance in our life and all that we need that entails in you. We receive that for us this morning by faith, and we ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone say, amen. Being a Mary in a Martha's World. You know, I came across this story about a Sunday school class of five-year-olds, and their lesson on the text they learned was Jesus visits the home of Martha and Mary. And after the lesson, the teacher looked at the children and say, what would you do if Jesus came to visit your house? And one of the little girls quickly raised their hands and said, I would tell my mommy, you got to clean the house quick. You get it. Clean the house quick, because Jesus is coming. Okay, where am I? Oh, there we go. Okay. The Passion Translation in verses 41 to 42 reads, the Lord answered her, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? In 42, Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her. Powerful statement, yeah? And that's from The Passion. How many of you ever remembered or watching the movie The City Slickers? Anybody? Well, if you don't remember it, it was about three individuals in the city who decided to go on a western venture, and they end up becoming cowboys, right? And it's a comedy with Billy Crystal. They end up becoming cowboys, and they lead this herd of cattle from one point of Texas into another area. Now, they're not cowboys, right? They're city slickers, right? Learning to become cowboys. But in one of the episodes, one of the series, which is really, really cool, actor Jack Palance, who plays Curly, and Billy Crystal, who plays Mitch, who's trying to get his smile back, right? Because he's so overwhelmed and distracted with the city life, he loses his smile. And they're having one of those life moments of man-to-man talks, Curly and Mitch, riding their horses in the you know, on their horses. And Curly says to Mitch, "Do you know the secret of life?" And Mitch says, "No, what is it?" And Curly lifts up his one finger and says, you know, he lifts up his finger, "This one thing, right? Just this one thing." And Mitch says, "Your finger?" "No, no, no. It's this one thing. And once you find that one thing, everything else doesn't mean nothing." And Mitch answers, "That's great, but what is that one thing?" And Curly answers, "That's what you got to find out." And through that whole episode, he finds out what it is. That one thing. Now, in the real world that we live in, right, there are many things that require our attention, our energy, our time, even our resources. Now, those of you who are parents, and those of you who are grandparents with kids and grandkids, how quickly you are reminded, right, that every morning that somebody needs you. There's diapers to be changed, there's clothes to find and to put on, there's breakfast to be made, there's chores to do, rides to give, and so on and so on. The list goes on. And the thing is, whether you are a parent or not, there are things that we face on a daily basis, right? Our jobs, bills to pay, car repairs, tax to file, doctor's appointment, and not to mention those unexpected mishaps that happens in those times that we least expect them. You ever had those happen? I've had those happen, right? Just jump on your car, the battery's dead, right? Jump on your car, the tire's flat. Or you drive off and you feel something funny, you look, "Oh, my tire's flat," right? Call Ruben, he'll fix it. He fixed mine. Put a plug. Amen. Which I'm thankful for. And all of these things, right? And the point I want to make is it's easy to get lost in the daily grinds and the demands that every day brings. How many of you can say, "Pastor, you know what? I've been there. I've done that. Got the T-shirt. And I'm still doing it." Even though you got this T-shirt. You know, our text says Martha was distracted by all the things she had to do. In hosting her guest of honor, Jesus and his disciples. Now, how many of you know when Jesus traveled, he wasn't by himself? How many disciples he had? Yeah? All right. So we don't read, you know, Jesus and the disciples, but they were with him. So there was a lot of dudes to feed, right? A lot of men to feed. But she was distracted by all the things that she had to do. Now, the word distracted means to be pulled away or to be dragged apart. And it comes from the Latin word disc, which means apart, and trafere, which means drag, and to drag apart, to pull you away, which prevents someone from giving their full attention to something else. Yeah. I think we all can, right? We all can relate what a distraction is, right? You know, in our bulletin, right? We have Lag and Priscilla, they print on the back of the bulletin, right? And it says, "Please silence or turn off your cell phones while in service." Why do you think we do that? Huh? To avoid distractions, distracting a family member next to you, but especially distracting and quenching the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the Holy Spirit wanting to move. Those kind of things can distract the Holy Spirit from moving in our services. And the thing is, we don't want to hinder him from doing so, right? We don't want to hinder him from doing so because of distractions. You know, I came across this story about distraction. One morning, a farmer told his wife that he was going out to harvest the corn from his field. He purposely got off early to start the day so he could warm up his truck. He found out he needed more petrol. He started walking to the store to get it. He suddenly stopped and remembered, hey, the pigs weren't fed. So he went to the corn crib where he found sacks of feed. Besides the sacks of potatoes that were sprouting, when he started for a potato pit, he passed a pile of wood. And he remembered, hey, my wife needed some firewood for the house. And he picked up some firewood. And as he's going back, an alien cat passed him by. He drops the firewood, picks up the cat. When noon arrived, the frustrated farmer not even gotten to his truck yet, let alone to the field to harvest the corn, and it's already noon. Now, does this sound familiar in our real life?
Yes.
You start off doing something or purposely wanting to do something, and you don't get it done because of all these other things that come into play, right? Yeah, I think we all can relate to that, how we get distracted. You know, you purpose, I'm going to spend time with God this morning, and then all of a sudden your phone rings, and then the conversation starts, okay, and then, you know, by the end of the day, right? We had good intentions, but what we started out to do never got accomplished. Amen. You know, I was thinking, could it be the case with Martha, where she got so busy doing the work of the ministry, and she failed to be ministered to herself? Amen. And that's one of the things that we watch in our lives, we who are leaders and involved in ministry. You know, let's not get too involved, you know, watch ourselves as we get involved in the work of the ministry, that we don't take the time with the Lord in allowing him to minister to us. Because out of the time with the Lord, right, he's ministering to us, whether you're spending in a word or praying, right? He's ministering to you. Out of that inflow from that comes the outflow to be an effective minister yourself. But if you don't have that time of the Lord ministering to you on a one-on-one basis, then your outflow is not going to be effective. Amen. Yeah? Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah? And here's the thing. No doubt to my mind that Martha had a good heart to serve, right? In being the best host she could be. But here's the thing. While Martha is preoccupied, scurrying around and making sure that everything was perfect, in preparing the food to be served to feed Jesus and his disciples, in her busyness, in her good intentions, she misses the perfect opportunity, right? Jesus is in her home. The master is sitting in her house. So she misses the perfect opportunity for Jesus, who is the bread of life, the manna from heaven, right? To instead feed her. Martha prefers food to feed Jesus, and yet Jesus actually comes with the intentions to feed her. She missed her opportunity. You know, I believe we need to serve the Lord and minister to him, as Martha did with our whole hearts, right? Didn't Jesus say that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, right? So he came to serve. So her serving wasn't the problem, right? But there are times, church, we need to be like Mary. We need to make the time to sit at his feet. Sit at his feet to listen and to worship. You know, I shared this, months ago. In the beginnings of March of 2020, when the pandemic and the crisis occurred, and all of the majority of the churches, the services actually, I would say the service closed, but the church was still functioning. So a lot of us pastors, we postponed our services from March. I think we were in March, April, May, and we reopened June. But we were basically, our services were canceled almost 2.5 months. And in the course of that, postponing our services, you know, I was just praying to God, Lord, what do we do? How do we navigate through all of this stuff? I mean, this is unprecedented times that we're living in. And as pastors, we've never faced this before. Because I was listening to all the different voices. I was watching the news. I was watching this and that. Listening what this pastor was doing and not doing, you know. And all these different voices was just coming. And it just caused more confusion in my mind. But I needed to hear his voice. Amen. And I remember the Holy Spirit brought me to this text. And I read it. And what the Holy Spirit was saying is, son, you need to posture yourself just as Mary did. You need to come at my feet and sit at my feet and listen to what I have to say and the instructions that I have to give you in order to navigate through all of this. So I have to posture myself as Mary did. Shut all the other voices out, the news, everything else, and just get to listen to his voice. And you know what? In that position, I was able to hear clearly of how to navigate our congregation through all that we went through. Open, what to do, everything. There's no way I could have thought of those things. No way. It was straight from the Holy Spirit in that position. So if you are, you know, if you are stuck in a situation where you have no idea what to do, where to go, who to say, who to see, get in that position at the feet of Christ. Sit and listen. And he'll speak to you. Amen. In that posture. You see, Mary discovered the one thing that is most important for her life, for her purpose, the plan of God, her call, her dream, that was exceedingly abundantly above all she could ask or even imagine. I would say even more than that. Right? And the thing is, we can too, church, just as Mary did. Why? Because Mary chose the better thing. What you mean? She invested her time at sitting at Jesus' feet. And whatever she discovered in that position, at sitting at the Master's feet, it couldn't be taken away from her. See, when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you purposely sit at his feet, and you begin to listen, and he begins to speak to you directly about your life, your future, your desires, your call, whatever it is. Nobody can take that away from you because it came straight from him. Amen. It was a rhema word from him to you. Amen. It cannot be taken away from you. The Passion Translation says in verse 39, just listen. Mary sat down attentively before the Master absorbing every revelation he shared. Wow. She sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. When I read that, I said, wow, Mary became a sponge that soaked up every word from the Word. Jesus is the Word, right? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Word was God, the Word was God. So she's absorbing every revelation, what he's speaking from the Word himself. And you know what? I think that's what Curly was talking about. The one thing in life. And once you find it, nothing else matters. Yeah. King David said in Psalms 27, verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. David saying, there's just one thing I want. This one thing I desire. God, I just want to be with you all the days of my life. Just that one thing, Lord. Just that one thing. Nothing else. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, he's talking to the church, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to arrive, but this one thing, everybody say one thing, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before me. There's one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. You know, this morning the Holy Spirit was saying some of us got to let some things go. Let the past go. Let it go. Trust God. That hurt, that relationship, that disappointment. Let it go. And that's what Paul was saying. Forgetting those things which are behind. Right? And some of us are still living our lives behind. Jesus says, he who sets his hand to the plow, right, and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Our lives is not a life of looking back. Our lives is a progressive of moving forward, advancing. Amen. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus tells this rich young man who asked him, Lord, how do I obtain eternal life? And Jesus looked at him and loved him. And Jesus says, son, there's one thing you lack. One thing you lack. There's one thing that is missing in your life. And he said, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. If you read that whole text, the Bible says he left grieved and saddened because he was wealthy. Jesus says it's much easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But there was one thing he was lacking, and Jesus pointed it out. But he asked Jesus the question, how do I obtain eternal life? And Jesus gives him the answer. But the riches is what kept him out from following Christ. Amen. That one thing. Everybody say one thing. One thing I desire, one thing I do, one thing I lack. And Jesus can fulfill and satisfy whatever that one thing is in your life. It doesn't have to be a whole bunch of things, Lord. Just this one thing. And Jesus is the only one that can fulfill and satisfy that one thing in our lives. And here's the thing, church. Mary discovers that one thing. She discovers that one thing, not in her serving, not in her much doing, which again is important, but she discovers it by choosing to sit at Jesus' feet. That's where she discovers it. You see, what Martha was doing wasn't wrong, but it was transient. What I mean by transient, it was temporal. temporal and short-lived. How many of you know the food that she prepared would be eaten and enjoyed? The guest of honor and the guests would have left. The dishes all washed and put away. The house cleaned and set back in order. And it would be as if no one was there. Jesus' visit would be just a faint memory in Martha's world. Because of her busyness, she lost focus, which caused her to miss her opportunity. And what an opportunity that was. Interestingly, God's plan, everybody say God's plan. God's plan, which is so important, but God's plan for each one of us is made up of a lifetime of small opportunities. Amen. And as believers, right, we need to discern those times and take full advantage of those opportunities if it's God. If you know it's God, take full advantage of those opportunities. You know, just because it's a small opportunity, right, doesn't mean that God cannot use that for his glory. And what we quote as small opportunities, because the Bible says, despite not small beginnings. The thing is, if it's God's plan and God's will for your life, right, God can and will add and multiply, like he did with the 5 loaves and the fishes, right? He multiplied that. How many of you, your little becomes much when you put it in God's hands? Those small opportunities become big opportunities when you put it in God's hands, right? Because God will open doors that no man can shut. And he'll set you up with divine favor and divine connections. Amen. In his plan. Yep. See, in Martha's world, because of her busyness, like I said, she lost focus and she missed her opportunity. But in Mary's world, she being positioned at Jesus' feet, absorbing those words of spirit and life from the living word, those revelations that was spoken, must have had and did have a tremendous and lasting impact in Mary's life. In fact, this is the same Mary recorded in Matthew 26:12, right? Whom she breaks the alabaster box. And she anoints Jesus' head to toe, that precious perfume before his death. That's the same Mary. Think about it. In Mary's world, right? Whatever she heard while sitting at his feet caused Mary to be boldly and fiercely to follow Jesus. Something that he said to her ignited and sparked her faith to the core. Remember we talked about keeping ourselves on fire, keeping the fire burning? Yeah. Yeah. Something that Jesus said ignited and sparked her faith to the core, because you find Mary with Jesus' mother, Mary, at the foot of the crucifixion. Yeah. But all the disciples, except John, had all scattered. Mary was there at the foot of the crucifixion with Mary. The two Marys. The same Mary we're talking about. The one who was sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, church, listen, just as Mary had to make a conscious choice to sit at Jesus' feet, to listen to him, as believers, we need to do the same. How many of you know prayer and time in the Word does not just happen by osmosis? It just doesn't happen. You see, we all must make a conscious choice to invest our precious time that we have. How many of you know time is precious? Like we talked about, right? We need to make a conscious choice to invest our precious time. And I promise you will discover and gain incredible, powerful revelation and insights and truths about the God whom we love and we serve. And a lot of you, I know you are still doing your journey in your Bible, which is wonderful. Amen. Reading your Bible. And some of you have already done it and doing it again. And I've heard testimonies where, man, you know, I discovered a lot of things about Jesus I didn't know. And that's the whole idea. The whole idea was to encourage you not just to read your Bible, but to discover this God, Jesus. Amen. Amen. To discover him and to learn about him, and as he begins to reveal himself to you as you spend time in the Word. Right? Now, this account of Mary and Martha, right, I want to say this. It doesn't imply that all we do as believers sit around, we read our Bibles, we pray, and we hold hands and sing Kumbaya, right? We don't just do that. I think James, you up there? I think, James, you had a posting I read a couple days ago. And if I remember, that posting said, there's a time to pray and a time to pick up a stone and take out a joint. Is that right? Take out a giant. Yeah? And that's so true. There's a time to pray, but there's a time to pick up a stone and go kill a giant after you've done praying. Amen. Don't just pray and then not do nothing. Right? There's the spiritual and there's the practical. The Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you don't expect to what? Amen. Parents love that with the kids. Go find a job. In fact, Jesus himself emphasized the need to work. He said, you know what? While it's day, right? We work while it's day because the night is coming when nobody else is able to work. Church, there's souls to be saved. There's needs to be met. Children to be cared for and taught. There's responsibilities that we need to take care of. As Martha's. Being precedes doing. Yes. Being precedes doing. And what I mean by that is what we do for Jesus ought to flow out of his divine grace and strength in us. That our work for him, what we do for him, being accessible, available, and willing, what we do for him and what we do for him is only as effective as he works in us. Yeah. Anybody learning something? You see, if we're not prioritizing the one thing in spending time at Jesus' feet, then we're going to end up feeling anxious, distracted, pulled away, spinning our wheels, going nowhere fast. We'll just be in one idle position, going nowhere. Or just spinning our wheels. And I think we all want to avoid that and not live our lives that way. And the Lord wouldn't want it either for us. Amen? Amen. So let me ask you, can we live like Mary in a Martha's world? Can we? Yes. Can we live like Mary in a Martha's world? Let me throw out this suggestion, just a thought. Maybe we need both, the Marys and the Marthas. We need the Marys who can learn from the Marthas, and the Marthas who can learn from the Marys. The older teaching the younger, and vice versa. How many of you know the older can learn from the youngers? Yeah. I mean, just give Joy my phone. And she's a whiz. It's like, what? How'd you learn that? You know? And she's 3 years old. The younger one has innovative ideas. And some of us older ones got to get out of the box, so to speak. If it's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know when John the Baptist showed up? Right? He wore leather. And he ate locusts. Yeah. You know. Some theologians will say, nah, it's some kind of, some kind of organic plant. No, it was bugs. Bugs. Locusts is bugs. That was weird. And the religious people looked at him like, this guy is strange. But he had a powerful word from God. He was anointed by God as a prophet. He was peculiar, but he was a voice who cried in the wilderness, take straight the way of the Lord. So some of our young people are going to be showing up and say, speaking the voice of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're living in those times. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So we need the Marys and we need the Marthas and we need the Marthas and we need the Marys. We can learn from each other. But there needs to be a balance between the two. There needs to be a balance between the two. In our serving and in our worship. In our prayer and in our works. In our relationships and our recreation. In our attentiveness and in our busyness, in the spiritual and in the practical, the Mary and the Marthas. We need to delicately balance the two. We need the Marthas to keep things running smoothly and efficiently. Don't raise your hand, some of you are Marthas here. You're into details. You love serving. You love doing, but you lack in one thing. And we have Marys here who are the intercessors. They love to seek the face of God, but they lack one thing. And that's where the balance comes in. Jesus didn't rebuke either one of them for what they were doing. He just corrected Martha for her attitude of how she was criticizing her sister. Amen. You lost your focus, Martha, in your much serving. So we need the Marthas to keep things running smoothly and efficiently. And we need the Marys to remind us to stop and to sit at Jesus' feet, listen. You know, when I was studying this out, I remember in Exodus where, Moses is on and Joshua is with the armies of Israel. They're fighting the Amalekites. And Moses has his hands lifted up. And Joshua and the armies of Israel are pushing the Amalekites back. And he has his arms up, Moses. And then when his hands begins to drop, the Amalekites begin to overcome the Israelites. So Hur and Aaron are on the side and they notice this. Every time his hands goes back up, Joshua and the nation of Israel, they start prevailing. But when his arm starts going down, Amalekites, the enemy, starts prevailing. So they figure it out. They have this discernment. So they go on the side, both her and Aaron, they go on the side. And they lift Moses' arms up, one on each side, right? And then Joshua and the nation of Israel is able to prevail. Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of Mary and Martha, right? Yeah. So Mary discovers the one thing that is most important to her, and she finds it by choosing to sit at Jesus' feet. And like I said, time is precious for us, but we have to make the time. We have to make the time. And don't allow the distractions of the world and whatever is pulling you apart or pulling you away from that place. Amen. I mean, in the times that we live in with technology, and I'm not downing technology, right? Technology is good, but in moderations. Like everything, it has to be done in moderation. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, the emails, cell phones. The best thing to do, if you purposely sit at Jesus' feet, turn off all your devices. Turn it off. Yeah. Turn it off. Amen. Receive the word this morning? Well, Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. And Father, we thank you for showing us the wonderful privilege of being able to serve you, Lord, and minister to you, Lord, and be in service to you as ministers. And we do wholeheartedly, Lord, because you serve and not to be served, that we're able to serve you in our congregation, in our families, to our communities. And Lord, we wholeheartedly, Father, as unto the Lord. But Lord, also, that we also make the time and we take the time to sit at your feet and to listen and to worship, to bring that balance, Lord, within our lives and not to be distracted with anything else when that time comes, that secret that we have with you. So we thank you, Lord, for showing us, Lord, in this life that we live in, this real world, how to be a Mary, how to live like Mary in a Martha's world. That our busyness doesn't distract us from spending time with you. So we bless our people this morning. We thank you for your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Amen.